play. Poor thing, Ma said. Bless her heart. I slid on a stool at the breakfast bar, watching April, a girl frozen in a pitcher. And what about you? Ma asked, putting the trays on the kitchen counter and heating up the stove. It took nothing for her to get comfortable in someone else's kitchen. How are you holding up with all this? Aunt Doris winced, rubbing her hands down the tops of her thighs as if to warm them. I'm managing. Just trying to take it one day at a time. She smoothed back her hair. Patty called here yesterday, wanting to speak with April. She shouldn't be doing that. She knows she's not supposed to have contact with the kids. Ma said, her voice clipped. There's going to be a custody trial. They're trying to terminate her and Tip's parental rights. Tip's too? Wow. I guess that makes sense. Not like he was around much. Yes. But he's fighting it, she said, pulling out a few clear plastic glasses from the cabinet. I think he really wanted to be around, but was scared of Patty and what she'd do. Court's never been too kind to black fathers. Ma nodded. You get a lawyer yet? I got a few suggestions, she said. Everybody is coming from every direction. I'm worried I don't know which way is up, but I know the Lord will provide. Aunt Doris hid behind a small blanket of confidence. She looked warm, but then you realize her cold feet were poking out at the bottom. Well, the church asked us to give this to you, Ma said, passing her a thick manila envelope of cash donations. Something to help with the transition of having a few new mouths to feed. Our thoughts and prayers are with your family. That's very kind of you. And thanks again for coming. I think seeing a familiar face would help, she said to me. Ma smiled and rubbed my shoulder. I think it would help us too. Claudia, Aunt Doris said, brightening. Why don't you go ahead and bring April some lemonade, so me and your mom can talk? I nodded and carried the tray out onto the deck, down the steps, and through a thick cluster of gnats. April sat almost a yard away, unfazed by my approaching footsteps. Even as I placed the tray on the table next to her, she didn't stir, just stared off at nothing. She should have a better view, like one of the river, facing the cherry blossom trees, museums, and monuments. Back at the house, Ma gave me a look, pleading for me to talk. I sighed. Hey. April acknowledged me with a small head turn, almost relieved to see me, but then gazed off again. Hey, she muttered. I pulled out the chair next to her and stared into the same abyss. I don't know how much time passed before I asked her the most basic question. You okay? She gave me a practiced nod, but stopped herself, the corner of her mouth creeping into a smirk. That funeral was fucking bogus, wasn't it? I chuckled. Yeah. She grabbed a cup, glancing over her shoulder at the adults watching us like zoo animals from the screen door, waiting for us to play or fight. Did they tell you that I helped her? She asked. Help too. She rolled her eyes. My mom. Did they tell you I helped stuff them in the freezer? The image popped in my head faster than I expected it to. I pulled my knees up to my chest, shaking my head. Buzz. April regarded me with a huff and shook her head. Stupid freezer was already half full with August. Wouldn't close right since Monday was so tall. I shook my head and covered my ears, the buzzing deafening. April, please, stop! They should arrest me, too, for what I did. But you didn't kill her! I helped her, though. What's that called? Assisting murder or something? I don't know. But you were just doing what your mom told you. That ain't your fault. She didn't tell me to do anything. I did it on my own. Her knees bounced, holding her cup right above it. Not sure if she was dead or alive, but I needed to buy myself more time. The buzzing cut off, like someone tripped over the freezer plug. More time? More time for what? To make a plan. April slumped in her seat. Monday never told you anything about that month we were away? No, I snapped. And so what? She wrapped her arms around herself. They split us up. Monday and August at one house. Me and some teen home. Tuesday was still little, so they gave her to this white couple. And if they had had their way, they would have adopted her. Had to beg Mom to get us out of there. Beg her to take those parenting classes. She let out a breath. I already lost August. I couldn't lose Tuesday, too. I shook my head. You hated Monday that much? April, enraged, snatched up my collar, pulling me so close I could see the drops of gold mixed in her brown eyes. Bitch, do you even know what I've had to do to take care of her? I've given up everything for my family. Her voice cracked, and she swallowed. But you ain't listening. Monday would have talked. They would have split us up, and who knows where we'd be. We would have never seen Tuesday again. And those eviction notices were coming around. I needed a plan to get us out first. I shook out her grip. You think Tuesday's better off now? I barked. She one step away from being one of them crazies on the metro. April winced, her knee bouncing hard. They're probably gonna send me to jail once they figure it out. She grumbled, wiping a tear out of her eye. Not saying it was right. All I know is I got one more year before I turn 18. Then it'll just be me and Tuesday. I noticed her mention nothing about Aunt Doris or her dad. Did Monday ever tell you that I was the one who signed her up for the school lotto? Heat rose to my face. Another secret. No. April smirked, sipping her drink again. She was so smart. Reading books. Like real books. When she was 4, it would have been stupid for her to go to some regular school and not learn anything. Got on the computer at the library and signed her up. Even filled out the paperwork. She rubbed her hands together, glaring at me. And then she met you. And it was like she learned about this whole other world. What stuff was supposed to be like. Good home. Good parents. Dance school. Sometimes I don't know whether to hate you. Or I don't know what. But I never had a you growing up. Know what I mean? For a change, I finally understood how our mutual resentment grew from the same seed of jealousy. I resented that April knew a whole other Monday, that they were real sisters, something I could never compete with. April resented the kind of sisters Monday and I were, soul sisters. Why didn't she tell me anything? She didn't want you feeling sorry for her, she said. I would have tried to help her. April shook her head. How? I mean, she wouldn't have wanted you to anyways. Didn't matter what she wanted. What was she gonna do, hate me? At least she'd be alive. April closed her eyes, wiping away a few betraying tears. Are you gonna tell on me now? She whispered. April always looked so much older than us. Not just what she wore, but in her face. Eyes sunken with dark circles, a jaw tight, wrinkles around her mouth. Knowing what I know now, what she had to deal with, it all made sense. So no use arguing about what could have been or what should have happened. Monday was gone. Nothing was going to bring her back. And as insane as it sounds, I understood April. I understood trying to keep a secret to protect a small fraction of the life you once loved. I eased back in my chair. No, I mumbled. A breeze cut through the humid air as she sighed, First time I saw my dad in 2 years. Was on TV. They interviewed him on NBC. Crying and carrying on. You see it? I nodded. He seems real sorry now. Monday's dead. August is dead. Tuesday's in the crazy hospital. Of course he's sorry now. Buzz. April. I mumbled, glancing over my shoulder. Do you hear that? Hear what? That. Buzzing. The after. Claudia. Sweet pea. Wake up. Daddy sat on the edge of my bed, nudging me awake. I glanced outside at the streetlights, searching for the library to hold on to something real. Hey, there's my girl. I threw my arms around him, tears coming hard and fast. Every time I wake up from this nightmare, I cry. It's all right, he whispered, rubbing my back. Hey, I got a little surprise for you. Another coloring book? Nah, not this time, he chuckled. See for yourself. Daddy slid the box from behind him. I sighed, using my last drop of energy to unwrap it. I opened a shiny new iPhone in a glittery purple case, and I winced a smile. We've been holding off giving this to you for a while, trying to shield you from what happened. But I think it's done more harm than good. Maybe this will help you remember, and keep remembering. 3:15 a.m. I sat cross-legged in the middle of my bed, watching the minutes pass on the screen of my new phone. All it took was one swipe and punching in a few letters in the search box for articles to swarm my screen, all dated 2 years ago. I clicked on an NBC video link and lowered the volume. The mayor announced today that at least 8 District of Columbia's Child and Family Services Agency workers will be fired for failing to properly address the welfare of Monday and August Charles, who were found dead in their home 2 weeks ago. The grisly discovery has even the most seasoned detectives speechless. In my 22 years on the force, I've never seen anything like this. The home was filthy and unlivable. Aside from the deplorable conditions, any sound-minded building manager would have gone in the home and recognized that it would have failed several safety codes. During today's news conference, the mayor played tapes of 2 911 calls made by Michelle Valenti, a former teacher of Monday Charles, after her whereabouts were undetermined. Hello? Yes, my name is Michelle Valenti. I'm a teacher at Warren Kent Charter School. One of my students, Monday Charles, has been missing. And I think there is something seriously wrong with her mother. She won't answer any of my questions or let me in the house. Please. You have to send someone now. Please. Valenti's call was not the first time someone had tried to intervene. A retired nurse from Warren Kent Charter School has also come forward claiming that she made a report. City officials are currently outlining several policy changes to prevent a similar tragedy from occurring again. I spotted a few familiar neighbors in the next video. Residents of Edboro are shocked by the tragedy that has hit their community after the discovery of 13-year-old Monday Charles and 9-year-old August Charles. I used to see them all the time on the courts or just playing outside, but then I hadn't seen them in a long while. Patty never stopped talking about her kids. She loved those babies. Bragged about them all the time. She said they were at their father's house. And I have no reason to question that. Nope. Never seen her lay a hand on those kids. She loved them. That's why this just don't make no sense. I heard crying some days. But my kids cry too when they about to get a whooping. I can't walk up in her home and cast stones. Residents are hoping this will bring light to the current property conditions and stop the city's recently approved redevelopment plan, which includes demolishing 500 homes and rebuilding both sale and rental properties, along with retail spaces. It is not certain that the displaced residents will be approved or will receive government assistance to move back in their community, forcing most into homeless shelters. Multiple claims suggest Mrs. Charles feared eviction, driving her to a mental break. You got these buses of white folks driving around here with cameras around their necks, like they're on a safari, hunting for their new home. Of course she went crazy. I looked outside at the library, imagining Monday's ghost sitting there, reading every book she could get her hands on, in the place she loved most. There were only 4 numbers programmed in the phone. I had always imagined the first call on my own cell phone would be to Monday. "Hello, Claudia?" Michael said groggily. "Hello, you there?" I cleared my throat, licking my lips as I clutched the phone to my ear. "Hey, you okay? You still there? What's wrong?" So much was wrong. I didn't know where to begin. "Claudia, you want to talk?" I wanted to scream and cry, but instead I felt numb. I took a deep breath, the thoughts pinching at my temples, as I pushed out a few words. "Why didn't any reporters talk to me?"
"You mean, like the news?"
"Yes. They talked to her neighbors. Why not me? You think they didn't think I knew things? That I wasn't smart enough? 'Cause I was in TLC?
How could you even think that? Don't you get it? You're the one that knew something was wrong all along. You saw what folks didn't see, which means you're smarter than everybody else, including all those folk working for the city who got fired. Just 'cause you got a little trouble reading, don't mean you ain't smarter than everybody else."
"Oh," I muttered, glancing out the window at the library, wishing to hold a piece of it with both hands to keep me grounded.
"Man, you should have seen your face," Michael said with a small laugh. "After you put everything together, you were about to roll in that house guns blazing. I don't know anyone who's as smart and brave as you."
"But I didn't save her," I said, bursting into tears. "I couldn't save her."
"You did save her, Claudia. You saved her from that house for years, and you didn't even know it."
The before. Ma spent the entire morning beating the house into submission, dusting, sweeping, vacuuming, scrubbing, and ironing. Company's coming, I thought. Important company. An hour later, the doorbell rang. I headed downstairs in my teal church dress, but stopped short mid-step, nearly tumbling the rest of the way. Detective Carson, the officer who'd refused to look for Monday, the one that made me feel stupid for even asking, stood in our doorway. His mouth dropped at the sight of me. Next to him, a woman dressed in a business suit smiled at Ma.
"Mrs. Coleman?
Hi, I am Detective Woods. We spoke on the phone," the white woman said, offering a hand, her curly brown hair tied back in a ponytail.
"Pleasure to meet you. This is my partner, Detective Carson."
Carson looked on the verge of a heart attack.
"Hi. Nice to meet you,"
Ma said, dressed in a blush shift dress. Daddy stood behind her in his freshly pressed khakis.
"This is my husband, Mr. Coleman, and that's my daughter, Claudia."
Detective Carson gulped.
"It's nice to meet you, Claudia."
I dug my nails into my side. Is he really going to pretend we never met? That I never went to him looking for help?
"Please, have a seat," Daddy said, leading them to the living room.
"Claudia, come on down,"
Ma urged.
"The detectives would like to talk to us about Monday."
Clenching back angry tears, I stomped down the stairs, silently sitting next to Ma. On the love seat, Detective Woods pulled out several files from her bag, while Detective Carson set up a recorder, fidgeting, unable to meet my glare.
"Several witnesses told us you were the right folks to talk to when it came to Monday," Detective Woods said. We're hoping you can answer some questions and fill in the gaps. As you know, Mrs. Charles is denying, well, everything.
How could she plead not guilty like that?
Ma asked.
After what she's done.
Well, that's not entirely true. She has admitted to August's death, but she is claiming no involvement in Monday's. She was under the impression Monday ran away and has no idea how she ended up in the freezer.
Ran away? Really?
I said, pointedly to Carson. Wonder why she didn't file a police report. Carson stiffened before clearing his throat.
The autopsy is a bit muddled, given the conditions of the bodies.
Detective Carson said, eyes shifting to me, then back. Hard to determine the exact cause of death. Ma rubbed my back.
Sweet pea, are you sure you want to be here for this? These questions could be kind of hard.
Let her stay, Daddy said. She's old enough and has a right to hear what happened to her friend.
Carson and Woods shared a quick look.
Claudia, I'm real sorry about your friend, Carson said. Your mother said you've taken this pretty hard.
That's why we wanted to come here, where you feel safe, and talk. Is that okay?
I tried talking to you, but you wouldn't listen. I wanted to scream. Instead, I strained my back and tilted up my chin. He knows what he did. Living with that guilt is enough punishment.
Yes, sir.
Daddy and Ma beamed proudly.
Great. Now, we're trying to put together a concrete timeline of events,
Woods said, flipping to a clean page in her legal pad.
We want this to be a rock-solid case, so we're crossing the T's and dotting the I's.
The detectives drilled down for information, asking us a whole heap of questions. When did we first meet Monday? What was she like? What was Mrs. Charles like? On and on. They kept digging deeper into the ground, turning over fresh soil, planting seeds of new theories.
Mrs. Coleman, Carson said, taking a sip from his water bottle. When did you last see Monday?
Ma nibbled on her bottom lip.
A week after Claudia went to visit my mother.
She came by one afternoon. Must have been a Saturday, since I was home. I offered her some iced tea and a sandwich. She seemed, I don't know, frazzled.
Woods nodded.
Do you remember what she was wearing?
Yes. A pair of green and blue shorts with little white lace trim and a white tank top. The shorts had this sort of tribal pattern. I think it even had a little pink in it.
The detectives glanced at each other, eyebrows arching to the ceiling.
That's very specific, Carson said.
I bought those shorts for Claudia, for her to take to Georgia. She spends summers down there with my mother.
Wood scribbled some notes.
So, did Monday take them?
Ma's eyes narrowed.
Monday had never stole a thing in her life.
Claudia probably gave them to her.
She gave Monday lots of her clothes.
We knew. But it wasn't her to nobody.
Wood slipped an 8x10 photo out of her files, sliding it across the coffee table.
I tensed, digging my nails into the sofa.
Are we about to see Monday's body?
Was this the pattern?
Ma swallowed, slowly leaning forward, easing the photo closer.
I held my breath and looked over her shoulder at a fuzzy blown-up shot of a hectic tribal pattern, much like the ones I like to color. Lagoon blue, Kelly green, and magenta, divided by sharp black lines into shapes.
Yes, that's it,
Ma muttered, then gasped.
Wait, is this what you found her in? Does this mean that she was wearing these when...
We can't say for certain, Woods said.
Oh, God,
Ma cried, and leaned into Daddy, sobbing into his chest. I dug my nails into my palms, hoping to feel something other than numbness, itching to touch the photo.
Claudia, Carson said.
They found a unique key in one of her pockets. We couldn't figure out what it belonged to. But her sister April mentioned it was to a journal. The room turned cold, and my lungs pinched shut. We didn't inventory a journal at the scene. Do you know what she may be referring to?
No.
Claudia,
Daddy warned. I mean, no, sir. April mentioned that you might have Monday's journal, Carson said. That you might have taken it when you were over their house a few weeks back. Ma sniffed and leaned over to glare at me, tears soaking her face.
What's he talking about? Didn't I tell you about going over to that house?
I hung my head to avoid her eyes.
What were you thinking?
She screamed.
What if something happened to you too? Don't you think we've lost enough?
Sorry, Ma. I squeaked, my lip trembling.
Do you still have it?
Woods asked.
The journal April mentioned?
Yes, sir. I mumbled.
Go get it,
Ma snapped.
Now, Claudia May!
I jumped at her sharp words, running up to my room and plucking it from its hiding spot. Carson stood as I returned, taking a large Ziploc bag out of his pocket. Thank you, Claudia, he said, shaking the bag open. Now if you can just drop it in here for me. The plastic bag snapping the air shook me out of a fog. I was holding the last of my best friend, the other half of me, the only piece of her I had left, the only way to know what her life without me was like, the boys she kissed, the books she read, the swim classes she took. I clutched the book tight to my chest.
Will you give it back?
Carson's lips tightened as he glanced at Woods.
Sorry, Claudia. We're going to have to keep it. It's evidence.
But,
I whimpered,
I haven't finished reading it yet. It takes me a little longer.
They need it for the investigation, sweet pea,
Daddy said, standing up.
You've got to give it to them.
Tears spilled over as my hands began to tremble.
I can't. It's all I have of her.
I turned to Carson.
And you owe me.
Carson hesitated, gripping the bag as Woods frowned, eyes ping-ponging between us.
Claudia, give them the book,
Ma ordered.
No! It's not fair!
I'm sure if Monday were here, she'd be saying the same thing.
Daddy sighed, placing a hand on my shoulder.
It ain't fair at all.
A cry, the one saved deep in my belly, rippled out of me.
Please!
I gasped between sobs, doubling over in pain.
Please! I'm not ready. Please, Daddy.
Daddy held me as I bawled, my body giving in as I slumped into him. Ma stood up to join us crying together. It was the type of crying that we should have done at the funeral. Except the funeral never felt real. But here, in our home, where we spent so many hours playing, laughing, dancing, this is where we had to say goodbye.
Come on, sweet pea.
Daddy sniffed.
It's time.
He held up my arm with my hand gripping the journal, rubbing my shoulder. Ma kissed my cheek and whispered,
I love you.
As I dropped the journal in the bag, along with my heart,
thank you, Claudia,
Carson said, sealing the bag.
I know how much this means to you. Did you happen to take anything else out of the house that might help us build our case?
I think of the book, Flowers in the Attic, still hidden under my bed, and my back turned into a concrete wall.
No.
Miss Clark gasped as I entered the main office, 40 minutes late to school.
Claudia,
She started but stopped, her eyes filling with tears. The rest of the office froze around her. Mr. Hill ran in, the principal behind him.
Claudia!
What are you... I mean, we weren't expecting you today. Your father called and said you would be out for a little while. How are you? I squirmed in my uniform, hanging loose off my hips after going weeks without food sticking to my bones. I need a late pass. I mumbled.
Yes, yes, of course,
he said, giving Miss Clark a curt nod. How about I walk you to class? He led me out of the office quickly, as if the very sight of me could trigger tears, escorting me from my locker to first period English, filling my ears with promises, how he'll talk to all the teachers about my grades, homework, and finals. Not even in class yet, and already regretting the idea of coming to school, just to get out of the house while Ma and Daddy went to work. I couldn't take the silence. Throughout the day, whispers hit my back, like kicked up pebbles. That's Claudia. She was best friends with that girl they found in the freezer. The lunch line snaked around the outskirts of the cafeteria. My movements felt robotic and staggering, much like the way Monday dragged herself through school all those months ago. Go home, I thought over and over again. You don't belong here. A broken light flickered above me. The sound lifted me out of the room and dropped me in the house. I could almost smell the mattress, hear Mrs. Charles cackle, feel myself falling out of the window. Buzz. A heavy hand tapped my shoulder. Trevor grinned with Carl standing behind him, their smiles unnerving.
Hey, Claudia. What's up?
The hairs on the back of my neck spiked. They haven't talked to me all year. What do they want now? Trevor's face tightened, straining to hold back a laugh.
Yo, I'm sorry your girlfriend got murked.
I swallowed, my fists balling up as I turned back around. He tapped my shoulder again.
Hey, hey, I'm talking to you. Don't touch me, I spat, slapping his hand away. Oh, so you just gonna come back to school like nothing?
Carl yelled. The cafeteria came to a halt. Just ignore him, I chanted to myself. But the buzzing grew louder, drowning out my own voice.
Buzz. Man, fuck you then, dumb bitch,
Trevor yelled, his breath on my neck.
I was just trying to be nice to you, stupid. How you not know your best friend was dead? Why you ain't say nothing? Hey, leave her alone.
I whipped my head around the cafeteria to see where the voice came from, locking eyes with Shayla, sitting at a table a few feet from the line, Ashley next to her, clutching a bottle of water, her eyes bouncing from me to Shayla and back.
Y'all think this funny?
Shayla barked, shaking her head.
With y'all sorry asses.
Buzz. Trevor waved her off.
Man, whatever. My daddy said it took 4 days to thaw her out the freezer before they knew it was really her.
Carl chuckled. They thawed that bitch out like a fucking turkey. I squeezed my eyes shut and stuffed my ears.
Buzz. Hey, didn't she say leave her alone?
Jacob shoved Carl out of the way, standing between Trevor and me like a brick wall.
Y'all luncheon. How you going after a girl like that? For real? You acting like you didn't smash that. Y'all talking about Monday like y'all didn't know her too.
Jacob yelled, shoving Trevor before one of the lunch monitors stepped in.
We all knew her. We saw her every day. And now she's gone. That shit ain't funny.
The word "she's gone" rang like a massive bell that everyone could hear.
No! They best meet still.
She isn't dead. The room tensed and stiffened.
What'd she say?
I don't know.
But most well spent, no!
We have to save her from that house.
Dang, she talking in tongues. Claudia. The left foot missed, right gone!
Gone! Gone!
Buzz.
I screamed and screamed and screamed until I had no air left. Girls began to cry. Carl's face dropped as he stuffed his hands in his pockets. She's gone. 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 Mrs. Valenti pushed through the crowd, pulling me into her arms.
It's okay,
she sobbed, holding me tight.
You're going to be okay.
The ticking light winked at me before I felt the prick of the nurse's needle, and the world went quiet. That was my last day at school. The after. I've never skipped school before, Michael laughed as we walked inside Ms. Walker's house. Well, I didn't skip school, just left early. So it don't really count. Coach finds out, I'll be doing suicide drills for hours. I took in the familiar warmth of the living room. Where's Ms. Walker? I asked, following him into the kitchen. She left for the annual church retreat, Michael said, opening the fridge and pulling out two ginger ales. That's this weekend? Already? Well, you've been having trouble remembering stuff lately, he said, placing the cans on the table. Right, I mumbled. It had been over a week, and the shock hadn't worn off yet. 2 years of my life. Gone. Monday. Gone. I barely knew who I was anymore. Claudia, you okay? He rubbed both my arms, warming my skin, and I stared up into his bright, pleading brown eyes. So, I said, squirming, afraid I'd burst into a lake of tears. When you moving in here? Michael grinned. Started moving my stuff in last weekend. But hey, I got a surprise for you. We headed to the back of the house, into a plain white narrow room with a small desk and a wooden twin bed propped against the wall. Michael stepped around a few boxes to a little bookcase on the floor made of milk crates. This was my dad's room when he was a kid, he said. He still has a bunch of his stuff here. I was cleaning out his closet when I found this. He pulled out a box of old cassette tapes, labeled by dates and venue name. Oh, snap! Are these his old go-go mixes? I asked, combing through the thick stack. Yeah, but want to hear something really cool? He popped one cassette into the old stereo. The conga beat smoothed out the speakers, and my ears welcomed its rhythm. The band unknown. I shrugged at him. Just listen. A guy sped over the beat, calling out folks' names. I see you, Claudia Baby over there from Southeast. Ah! I screamed. That's me. Well, not really me, but me. Michael laughed. I was trying to decide if I should throw this box away when I heard it. Now you can say you were there, even if you weren't. I sat on the floor, in awe of the collection. Monday would have flipped if she had heard this. She would have blasted this from every speaker everywhere. She would have danced. She should be dancing. Buzz. Claudia, Michael said softly. Come here. My stomach clenched as I pulled myself up to join him on the unmade bed he sat on. Hey, he whispered, tipping my chin up. What's on your mind? I took a deep breath. I remember my last day at school. Michael brightened. You remember? Finally! We gotta tell your moms! I had tons of questions, but only one mattered. Why have you been so nice to me? He shook his head, glancing at the floor with a shrug. 'Cause she was sitting in your kitchen. What? Who? Monday. Last time I saw her, she was with your mom. My heart leaped. When? Like, a few days before the church barbecue. I helped my mom drop the ribs off for your mom to season.
The church barbecue was held a week after I left for Georgia. I never usually missed it, but that year it was pushed back 2 weeks due to rain. It would have cost too much money to change my flight. I walked in and thought it was you. He continued. Y'all look so alike, it's freaky. I remember she had these bright-ass shorts on. Then after the way everything went down, I couldn't stop thinking about it. How I saw her on her first last day. And then I thought, what if that was you? Couldn't get it out of my head. It scared me. He slipped my hand into his and squeezed it tight. My heart raced as I gazed into his chocolate eyes. Why am I so nervous? I thought. It's just Michael. Warm, tall, and solid. Michael is safe. Michael is safe. No bubble needed. I leaned over and kissed him. Not a drunken kiss. A kiss that felt more like flying. The air in my lungs loose instead of crushing in desperation. He smiled as he kissed me back. Ma stood in the kitchen doorway, hands locked on her hips. We bought that cell phone for a reason, Claudia. You should have told me where you were, she said, her voice measured but laced with an edge. Sorry, I just needed to clear my head. I took a deep breath. Ma, I remembered my last day of school. Ma gasped, crossing her arms as if to shield herself before spinning on her heels, heading into the kitchen. Come on in here. It's time we had a talk. I gulped, stomach squeezing against my spine. I think it's time I finally be straight with you, Claudia, she said, pulling out a chair. Didn't think it would be good for your recovery, but maybe knowing the truth will help. The truth about what? I stuttered, joining her at the table, bracing myself. Ma took a deep breath as she folded her hands together. Before it happened, Monday came by here, not long after you left for Grandmama's. She didn't say much, but it seemed like she wanted to talk about something. I was heading to Bible study, so I offered her a ride home. When we pulled up, not even a foot out of the car, Monday started crying. Something was just off about her that day. I spoke to your father about it, and we decided to make an anonymous call to social services. Now, I'm just wondering if I made things worse. If that call set Patty off somehow. And she took it out on that poor little girl. My teeth chattered, as if a cold front had moved through my body. Ma's eyes began to water. When you hadn't heard from her, I thought maybe social services, took her out of the house for good. And I didn't want you hating me, because I had something to do with you losing your best friend. Ma finally let the tears fall. I was wrong not telling you, because I knew you were old enough, smart enough, to understand. I'm sorry, sweet pea, but please don't hate me. I took a much-needed breath as she reached over to hold my hands. I could never hate you, Ma. Never. She wiped her tears. My God, it just felt like I lost another child all over again. I didn't want you seeing me like that. Not again. Because I knew how much you loved that girl. My lip quivered. I did, Ma. I did love her. Ma reached over and held my hand. So did I, sweet pea, she whispered. So did Daddy. That's why I think it's time we all got some real help. Together. June. If I was a color, I would be white, vast in my blankness, pure, whole, virginal, predictable, boring. The colors thrown at me didn't bleed into my canvas and leave a mark. The colors washed out with nothing but water. That's what made this story so hard to remember. It's hard facing a mirror and seeing all you are made of and all you couldn't absorb. But I'm open to be changed, to be in a place where I can hold all the colors I love at once, appreciate what they are, and learn from them. I'm open to new beginnings. The After. Last week, Thomas Charles, the father of Monday and August Charles, filed a multi-million dollar wrongful death lawsuit against the city after officials failed to respond properly to school social workers' concerns. The lawsuit has created a rift between city council and community leaders. Todd Harris from the D.C. Urban Development Coalition feels the suit raises a fundamental concern. Well, I think it boils down to one question. Who's really responsible for your well-being? Your family? The government? Or your community? I waited patiently in line for my turn at Starbucks in Gallery Place Chinatown, waiting for her to see me, waiting for us to lock eyes and really see each other. I stepped up to the counter and she blinked, hands rubbing against her apron. "Your hair is shorter," I blurted out, "and red, more like a tomato mixed with cherry." April chuckled. "So, you finally remembered. About fucking time." I smiled. "I'll take a hot chocolate." She nodded and called over her shoulder, "Taking a break." I had to find April, because I trusted her, more than anyone, to keep it real with me. We sat on a bus bench on the corner of 8th and 7th Street, sipping in silence, watching cars drive under the Chinese archway. "I only got 15 minutes, so make it quick." "How many times have I done this?" "Twice," she admitted. "But this was the longest." I shook my head. "Surprised you played along." "Ain't like I wanted to. Your mom begged me. Said it was part of your healing, and that I should take pity on you." "Heh. Why should I pity you? Ain't like you lost your whole family like I did." I bit my lip, trying to match the stinging guilt. "So, why did you?" She shook her head, tears welling up fast. "'Cause you ain't never stopped looking for her. Never." "Buzz. And Tuesday?" I asked, talking over the noise. "How's she?" Just the mention of Tuesday made her tense. An instinctive move I no longer blamed her for. Not after everything they'd been through. "Better. In school now. Going to therapy. We both are." We caught eyes, and I enjoyed the calm in the moment. "I got accepted to Cardozo. Gonna start in the fall. And I'm in therapy too." She smiled. A real genuine one. "Good. Maybe you'll stay with us for a while." The backstage of any recital is a hectic circus. A mosh pit of screaming girls, mothers, powdery makeup, and hot lights. That's why Daddy looked like an elephant tiptoeing around a glass dollhouse, weaving through tutus and sparkly feathered headdresses. "Daddy!" He spotted me by the vanity mirrors in the corner and waved. "Hey, sweet pea. What are you doing back here? Ma already went to take her seat." "Yeah, I know. I passed her on the way." "You look beautiful." I glanced down at my silky snow-white dress that stopped just at the knees. It flowed and moved like waves over my tights with just a hint of silver glitter. My nails matched my lipstick and eyeshadow. Frosted pink. "Thanks." "Nervous? You know I always get nervous before hitting the stage." If he squeezed my hands any tighter, sweat would drip out. I glanced at the back door leading to the main stage, flinching at the roaring applause. A little. I'm not on for another 30 minutes. "Well, I was gonna wait until after to give this to you," he said. But then I thought, why not? Since you got some time to kill.
He whipped out a manila folder, presenting it like a bouquet of flowers.
What is it?
I laughed. Another coloring book? He shrugged as I opened the folder to find a stack of black and white photocopies from Monday's journal.
Daddy,
I gasped.
It ain't the original,
but it's better than nothing. I flipped through the pages before diving into his arms, trying to squeeze all my love into him.
Thank you, Daddy,
I cried.
Thank you.
Claudia painted my nails with this color called Cherry Balm. She even painted little cherries on the tips. She is like an artist or something. She is so good. The pictures she colors are pretty, too. She don't know it, but I have some of her pictures in my drawer. And her dancing. In all them recitals, she's just... wow. I wish she wasn't so scared all the time, though. She's afraid people will treat her different because of the way she read and write. But if they got to know her, they'd see how smart and cool she is. Then everyone gonna want to be her friend. I can't believe out of all the people in the world, she chose me, to be her best friend. Well, we ain't just best friends. More like sisters.
You ready?
Megan said, standing beside me at the makeup mirror. Or are you gonna sit with your nose in them papers all night? Sitting with a copy of my best friend's journal on my lap, reading it without mixing up my words too bad, felt like heaven. I would have sat there forever if I could. I took a deep breath, stuffing the folder in my bag, trying to hold back my mile-long grin.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Megan shook her head. I can't believe you.
Huh? What'd I do?
I mean, I can't believe you're here, she said, gripping the table. After everything that's happened, I don't know what I would have done if that was Kit Kat.
She's right.
I should have been a pile of shattered glass on the corner, ready for the street sweepers to collect me. Only one thing kept me going. Monday.
You would have danced,
I said with a shrug.
'Cause she'd whoop your ass if you didn't.
Damn, that's true. We stared at each other in the mirror for a moment, then giggled.
Aight, you up next. You gonna watch?
Girl, you already know. Let's do this.
And don't forget to smile.
I didn't forget. I smiled through every turn, with my head held high. Every leap, feeling Monday right next to me. Dancing in a lavender dress, sparkling, her smile brilliant. I poured my heart, soul, and all my love into every move. Just like old times, our steps in sync, having fun until the very end, as we bowed to a roaring crowd. With Ma, Daddy, and Michael in the front row, cheering. Later on. Dear Monday, I haven't written to you in a while. I'm sure you know why. But girl, last weekend, at the annual block party, Daddy's band did this crankin' set, had everybody dancing. A bunch of folks that had moved away came. Even April and Tuesday. It was like a big family reunion. You should see Tuesday. She dances just like you. Been going to this therapist every week, and she said something about me needing closure. I think I know where to get it, but nobody's gonna like it. P.S. Look how good I'm writing now. I even help out my friends in TLC.
You sure you want to hear this? Right here? Right now?
I stared up at the house. Monday's house. It's boarded up windows. The door hanging off the hinges, like a semicolon. Secured with a thick chain and padlock. Thin gray clouds hung above while birds chirped in the tree, casting hectic designs on the sidewalk. I remembered it looking so much bigger.
I turned to Michael, his head almost hitting the roof of his car. His dad had made good on his promise and bought him a brand new Dodge Charger, all black. Michael took care of it better than some people take care of their children.
How many times do we have to go over this?
I sighed.
I know, but do we have to?
He glanced over his shoulder.
Do it right here?
Even I had a hard time stomaching it.
I know.
I groaned. I heard you the first four times. He blew out some air, rubbed his head like a genie lamp, wishing this away.
All right.
I'm only going to play one part, then that's it.
Would you hurry up with all this stalling?
I chuckled. He reached over and tickled my neck. I squealed with a fit of giggles before he grabbed my chin and tilted my face in his direction, planting a quick kiss on my lips, then another, a deeper one. I kissed him back, my lips hungry for more of his.
Tell me the truth, he whispered. You still hearing that buzzing?
I sighed.
Yes.
His smile fell fast.
Then why are we doing this?
Because I need to know. I can't go on not knowing and imagining what happened.
She could be lying,
he said, coming out the woodwork with a new tune.
She's not lying. She's got nothing to lose.
Michael shook his head.
Your dad is gonna kill me.
He hasn't the last 20 times you've said that. Michael smirked and pulled out his iPhone, clicking on his podcast app before grabbing my hand.
Okay. Ready?
I held my breath, squeezing his hand back.
Yeah.
Michael nodded, pressed play, and Mrs. Charles joined us in the car.
August kept putting his hands on females. I kept telling him to stop that. But he was beating up on his sisters. Them bruises you see on Monday in April, you can't put all the blame on me. Final straw was when I caught him biting Tuesday. She was just a baby. I started punching him, biting him back. Told him, didn't I tell you boys not supposed to touch no females? He knew that I told him all the time. He was screaming and wouldn't shut up. I choked him, putting my hands around his throat. He fought until his eyes started rolling back. And then he was dead. Told April to put him in the freezer. Cause, well, I didn't feel like dealing with him. Her voice was calm, level, smooth as silk, detailing the way she murdered her child, much like the way you talk about a boring Sunday afternoon. Monday was a fast-ass little girl, fast from the day she was born. Got boys coming up to my house looking for her and shit. I even heard her messing with girls, too. Michael and I locked eyes, and he gripped my hand, kissing my knuckles. I came home early from babysitting and see her coming out of some car in these tight-ass little shorts, talking fast, telling me she's about to leave me. I grabbed her by the neck and started punching her. She wanted to be all big and bad, trying to face me like a grown-ass woman. She gonna get beat down like a grown woman. She started screaming, cursing at me and carrying on. I threw her in the closet for a couple of days. She kept on screaming, begging to be let out, begging for water. Every time she made too much noise, I'd walk in and kick her. That last time, she wouldn't get up. I don't know how she got in that freezer. I didn't put her there. I would have let her rot in that closet. I ain't sorry for what I done. People have been making excuses, talking about this and that. But I know what I did. And I ain't sorry. Michael pressed stop and pulled me into a hug. We're never gonna play shit like that again. Ever. I rubbed my face on his shoulder, not realizing that I had been crying. He pulled back and kissed both of my cheeks. Are you okay?
He whispered into my lips. I nodded.
Stay here.
You sure? I glanced over at the house, picturing Monday hopping out of the back seat of the car
skipping up the pathway, slow and dreamlike, her arms swinging as she took one big jump up the stairs to the landing.